My message is going to last about 2 hours today, so we'll be in good shape. Okay, open your Bibles, three places, real quickly. Matthew 15. We're going to be coming there and spending there for our text, but I want you to go over to other places. Why don't you go 1 John chapter 5, Matthew chapter 15. Keep your finger there. I hope you got three fingers. I'm going to use three. One time I was given several references, and a girl stayed with Beth for a while. She only had one hand, and I gave about six references, and she said she ran out of fingers. And so I'll try not to run you out of fingers today. So Matthew 15, 1 John chapter 5, then Revelation chapter 2. Most of the time, starting school, I'll read something of a morning, give a thought, and I got where nobody was listening to what I said. So what I decided to do something different. What I started to do was, on Thursday we always mop and sweep and clean after the week and make sure we clean up. And so I decided what I would do is, instead of just doing it, one or two of us doing it, after everybody left, I decided, well, just let the girls or the boys do it. So what we started doing was, I said, you better listen. So whenever I get through, the next day I'd ask them a question on what I taught the day before. And whoever could answer a question didn't have to mop and sweep. The other one had to mop and sweep. And one day it was over those who overcomes. Today I want to preach about overcoming. Now let me say this, I've got a couple of examples I want to use before I get into the text. I told the boys, we went and we played a tournament all week this week, weekend, Thursday and Friday at Clay's Mill in Lexington. It's always a really hard place to play. They usually always have a good team. They have a really good coach. They've got a church and school that supports them to the tilt. They've got good school spirit, all the ingredients to have a good team. They've got some referees that's real fond of them, and that makes it always hard when we go there. And so it really makes it difficult to go there and win. But I told the guys when we left there this week, we did win the tournament, second year in the row, which is unusual. It's hard to win that tournament up there. And I told them I was very proud of them. There was a point during the tournament that I didn't get so proud of them. As a matter of fact, I was ashamed of them. They got down and they got disgusted. They wasn't listening to Rick and I. I told them we were playing basketball before they were born. We knew a little bit more about it than they did. If they want to be coached, they could be coached and let us play. But otherwise, there's coaches for a reason. So we had a little heart-to-heart talk. I don't think I made some of their Christmas lists that day, but it had to be done. So they were down. One of them was hurt, couldn't hardly walk. A couple of them was tired, didn't think they had enough gas to do it. They already had the referees in their mind that they were going to have to deal with. They just got beat once by this team because they got down and didn't listen. And so it didn't look good that we were going to come out winning. But we pulled them together. We talked to them about forgetting about pain, forgetting about everything else, and playing to their potential and overcoming all the different things that they had to face. And sure enough, they did. And they played, as a matter of fact, I didn't even substitute during that game. First game I think I've played all year long, I didn't even substitute. No one got tired. No one got lazy. No one quit. No one got whining. They just played ball. I said that to say this. I was proud because they overcome everything that was standing in their way of losing. And it would have been very easy for them to lose that tournament and just keep their head down. But you know, even more inspirational was a boy that played in the tournament. He'd went to the mission field with his parents, and he'd had an issue with his leg. They did surgery when he was 5 years old. And it set up infection because where he was at, they did not use sterile techniques, and he lost his leg. And he was out there playing, running up and down with a fake leg. You never saw him frown. You never saw him whimper. You never saw him complain. When he got beat, he hustled back down. He tried to do something else. He went for every loose ball. He run up and down the court with that fake leg, prosthetic leg. And I thought, that boy overcome. He could have sat on his seat and said, poor is me and woe is me because I've only got one leg. But he worked hard. When I spoke of the kids the other day and used the word overcomer, I used two examples from Galilean home when we used to play them. A little girl played volleyball on crutches. She couldn't walk. When we played her on volleyball, she had to sit down on the ground. And she played by scooting around with her hands when she played volleyball. Never saw her got frustrated. She always had a smile on her face, and she always played to her best potential. And she played hard. She couldn't run. She couldn't move. All she could do was scoot with her hands and scoot with her body, trying to get to a ball. But I tell you what, when you knocked a ball around her, she didn't just sit there. She tried her best to get to it. And when she didn't get frustrated and beat the ground and kick the ground and whine and cry. She got up and she just kept playing. Another boy, he was from Afghanistan, I believe, had reached down, picked up a mine. It blew his arms off. He played with two stubs. Now, Kelly and JR and some of them played against him. And he'd beat you to death, those stubs. They come about right here. He shot three-pointers all the time. Did you ever play against him, Matt? And he shot three-pointers all the time. And he played hard. Didn't have any hands. Just had those stubs. Always had a smile on his face. I thought, my, that's the way you overcome. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, turn there just a moment. It speaks of seven churches. It represents all seven church ages that the church is going to go through till Jesus comes back. Every church age has different things that they're going to have to face. But look, if you would, in verse number 7, chapter 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that what? Overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Look, if you would, in chapter number 2 as well, and notice the church of Smyrna. That was church of Ephesus, the church age of Ephesus. The church age of Smyrna, when there was great persecution going on, notice what he says in verse 11. He that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Then in the same chapter, the church of Pergamos, the church age of Pergamos, he says over in verse 17, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And again to the church of Thyatira. Now, into that, if you look in verse number 26, to he that overcometh and keepeth my works until him to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Look on, if you would, in chapter 3, to the church of Sardis. Again, in verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Look in the church of Philadelphia in chapter 3. Again, he says, In verse number 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Look at the church of Laodicea, verse number 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Turn back, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God, what? Overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is a son of God? So this whole world, now listen to me, this world has a lot of traps. It has a lot of trickery. It has a lot of enticements. It has a lot of things to draw on your lust. The world wants to draw you out away from God. The Bible says the world is enmity against God. And the only way that we can escape the world, because the end of the world is going to be hell. Everyone who sells himself to the world and loves the world and gives himself to the world is going to die, because the Bible says those that love the world does not have the love of the Father. And so therefore, to love the world and give yourself to the world and all the things the world has to offer is great enticing. That's why the majority of people will die and go to hell, because a wide, broad road that leads to destruction is people that's been enticed by the world. The only way we can overcome this world is by faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ overcometh the world. And we got to believe that there is a better world waiting. There's a better place. There's a better thing than what this world has to offer. And we have to believe like Jesus. If a man would gain the whole world and in the end lose his soul, what would it profit that man? So we believe that to give yourself to the world, that you die and go to hell, and if you gained the whole world and all the riches, it still wouldn't be worth dying and going to hell. And so therefore, we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now turn, if you would, in Matthew chapter 15. I said all that to say this. Everybody has to overcome certain things. Now the boys I was talking about, I was proud of them for overcoming, but that was a small thing compared to what they'll have to overcome in some other things. Everybody here has to overcome some things. Sometimes you say life's not fair. Well, it's not. The world is not a friendly place. The world is an evil place, the Bible says, full of wickedness. You've got the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, that goes about this old earth, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. We have the old flesh that we battle with, that's always bothering us and fighting against everything that we do. So you have to learn to overcome. Sometimes you say, well, I've got this problem. Well, overcome it. Well, I've got this going on. Overcome it. You say, I can't. Oh, yeah, you can. Take a look. The Bible is full of people who overcame. And you know, I use those three examples of those kids. I don't know about you all, but of all the people I saw, had I been able to give an award to everybody that played that tournament, I would have walked out there and gave that boy with one leg the award. Because he overcome some things. I mean, and you know, not only that, he wasn't angry. He had a smile and he played hard the whole time. Now, look here in Matthew chapter 15. We find a woman that had to overcome some things. I preached on this before, but I want to share with you a couple things real quickly. Look, if you would, in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan. Now, in Mark, it calls her Syrophoenician. The word Syrophoenician means from the coast thereof, of Tyre and Sidon. It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and he said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, I preached a lot of messages about different things, but I want to show you a couple of things here, and I want you to think about this woman and the things that she had to overcome. First of all, I want you to notice the reason why she was there. During the time of Jesus came, there was a great increase in demonic activity. The reason why is because the devil knew that Jesus was coming. He knew because he'd been around. He knew what the word of God had said. He'd heard it preached. He knew certain things. And he knew that Jesus was going to come of a virgin. Isaiah done told. Daniel done told about the time it was going to happen. And there was great demonic activity increased during that time. You'll read several times in the Bible about people being possessed in devil and Jesus casting the devil out. As a matter of fact, you'll read of one man that was in a coast and he was called Legion because he was possessed by a whole legion of angels or devils. About 2,000 is what a legion normally was. Now imagine that. Imagine having that many demons inside of you, and the Bible said that they would chain him up and he'd just break the chains. He'd cut himself, run around naked all the time. I mean, man, that guy was something else. Well, this woman had a reason for coming to Jesus. Even though she come out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and this is one of the few times you find Jesus outside the Palestinian area, and John the Baptist has been killed, and he went over there. And so she come crying. She was Canaanite. Now, so she come because her daughter was possessed, the Bible says grievously possessed, by devil. Now, we don't know much about that, but we know that a lot of times they would cause them to foam at the mouth and cause them to flap around violently, throw themselves in the fire, do all kinds of things. We don't know what all took place when someone was possessed by a devil. But the Bible tells us certain things that happened. Now, this woman had a daughter. Imagine if your son or daughter was possessed of a devil. And they were hurting themselves, cutting themselves, hurting themselves. And by the way, let me say something real quick that needs to be thrown in here. Jesus is fixing to come again. You may not realize it, but the devil does. And there's been a great increase in demonic activity again now. That's why you see all this wickedness and evil so much has increased. Why you see so much of people, you say, man, that's pure evil. You know why? The demons are on the move. Something is fixing to happen with the Lord. And they know the time is round. They've heard it preached enough. They know what the Bible says. They listen. They've spent time with Jesus. They know what he's like. And they know his word is true. And what they're doing is, there's many seducing spirits. The Bible says in the latter days, there will be many seducing spirits. And man, people are being seduced by evil spirits all the time anymore. That's why people are creating such heinous crimes. I mean, not just one every now and then, everywhere you turn. I mean, just look how people are grabbing children and abusing and doing those things. Wow, can you believe that? I was watching an article on this guy down in Texas. killed over 150 people. And he talked about killing them, cutting them up, and so forth, like going to out to get groceries. And he thought no more of it than going and getting a loaf of bread at a grocery store. But look on. So she had a daughter that was grievously vexed. And man, her daughter was, she wanted to see her daughter saved so much. And she'd come and she cried, the Bible said. Now, when she said she cried, it doesn't mean she said, Jesus, if you don't mind. She was crying, and she was following the disciples of Jesus. And everywhere they go, she said, please, thou son of David, help me. And she was crying to the top of her lungs. And boy, it was anointing the disciples. And she was begging, crying out to him, shouting for him, desperate, heartbroken. Her daughter had been grievously vexed with the devil, and she wanted to somebody to please help. She loved her daughter. Imagine if your child was in that situation. If your child was fixing to die, what would you do to save her or him? You'd do whatever you could. And I tell you what, you wouldn't be ashamed to cry out. And when people say, shh, you cry out the louder. Reason why she was there, she must have heard. As a matter of fact, Mark chapter 7, telling about the same woman, said she'd heard of him. She probably heard how he'd healed the sick, raised and how he'd cast out devils. She may even heard where he cast out the legion of devils out of the man. And she probably thought the only hope she had was in this man Jesus. And she heard he was in the coast, and she wasn't going to let nothing stop her. She followed crying out after Jesus and the disciples. Persistent. But she had some obstacles in the way. Look at back in your Bible, verses 23 on down through 27. And the Bible said in verse 22, and a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O thou Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her what? Wow. Look at her obstacles she had to overcome. First of all, she was from what area? What does the Bible say there in verse number 22 that she was a woman of who? If you go back in Genesis, you know what Canaan was? A cursed nation. God cursed them. You know why God cursed Canaan? Because Canaan's dad, Ham, looked upon Noah, his dad, when he was naked. Some people think he committed a homosexual act with him. He did something to him because when he awoke, he knew that he'd done it to him. So whatever it was bad enough that God said, curse, you're going to be. And he cursed Canaan. And Canaan was cursed from that point on. And so she come out of a cursed nation. Now, not only that, was she from a cursed people, but she also, if you study the people of nation, or the nation of Canaan, they had a lot of vile worship. So here she was, she had to overcome her own race, her own people. She had to overcome it. Some people said, well, you don't know where I came from. You don't know what I've come from. Overcome it. Listen, I appreciate that America is a nation that welcomes immigrants. I'm glad that people can come from poor, broken countries and come into here and start a new life and make it. But if you come, number one, come the legal way. Number two, if you come to work, not to get a welfare check. Amen? If you're able to work, come to work. And look, you can overcome. That's what I want to do when I see all these people standing out here. I passed by yesterday, and this woman standing there, got six kids and all this other stuff. I thought, now you're going to stand there all day long. Why don't you go over and get a job? And get a paycheck like everybody else. See men standing out there all day long. saw an article one time where a guy stood out there, and he stood out there, and he had this little sign, and it's all this poor stuff on the sign, and then he bragged about making $1,500 a day staying out there. That was when they first started staying out there. Listen to me. If they can stand out there all day long, my wife can't stand out there all day long. They can stand out there all day long, they can go get a job somewhere. They can do that for 8 hours a day. They can surely work and find some type of job. And there's all kinds. Everywhere I turn, there's help wanted. You can find a job. You just got to be willing to work. So anyway, getting off that, she had to overcome her race. Her own, the place where she came from, it was a cursed place. And it was a place full of false idols. And so here she come. And she also had to overcome the fact she wasn't a Jew. That's why whenever she said, call Jesus by the son of David, she was calling upon the Messiah. She wasn't a Jew. She had no right to call him the Messiah. He wasn't her Messiah. That's why he didn't even respond to her, because she had no right. She had to overcome that religion. She couldn't do, she couldn't. He spoke not a word. And by the way, can I say this? Please listen to me. I went. They do this in AA and other places. They quote the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Father, which art in heaven, thou be thy name. Let me tell you something. You have no more right to call God your heavenly Father if you're not saved than she had to call Jesus, thou son of David, Lord, have mercy on me. You got no more access to God as your heavenly Father. He's not your heavenly Father. He's not your heavenly Father until by faith you have believed in Jesus Christ, and to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Then you can call him your heavenly Father. Until then, you've got to come upon him as a sinner and cry out for the mercy of God to save your wretched soul.
Amen.
Amen. She had to overcome the religion. She had to overcome also the racism of the disciples. You know what they thought of a Gentile? They thought they were a bunch of dogs. They had nothing to do with it. And here she was coming after them crying, son of David, have mercy upon me. My daughter is vexed with the devil. I need your help. And they said, send her away. She's bugging us. They didn't have any compassion on her. Get rid of her. Why, she's just nothing but old Gentile dog. They looked down upon her. And let me say something. God doesn't make a difference between black, white, red, or yellow. They're all precious in his sight. Some of them have been born in different places, and some people have been born of privilege. Some hasn't. If you're an American, that's why you pledge that flag, because you're a lucky one. You've been born in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and you ought to appreciate it. And I've often said this, if you don't like it, go somewhere else and find out how good it is in other places. You might see it a little differently. But she had to overcome the racism of the disciples. Then she had to overcome the rejection of Jesus. He told her that his mission was to come to lost sheep of Israel. And there she was begging and the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And there she was begging for him. And then he even referred to her as a dog. Should I take the bread of the children and cast it to dogs? She had to overcome that. Somebody said, well, they said something hurt my feelings. I'll never be their friend. I'll never forgive them. Get over it. Is that all you got to overcome in life? Somebody said something bad about you? Somebody said, well, preacher, hurt my feelings. Get over it. Number one, I'm not perfect. And I might do it out of error. I'm sure I probably hurt some of them boys' feelings the other day. Don't you think so, Rick? Probably hurt their feelings a little bit. I loved them. I didn't do it because I didn't do it to be mean. But I probably hurt their feelings a little bit. Boys, listen to me. Don't talk to each other. You can talk to me later, okay? But you got to overcome it. This woman was desperate. And Jesus wouldn't even talk to her. And then when he did, he called her a dog. And said he wasn't going to take the bread of the children and give it dog. You said, man, Jesus, I thought he was good. Boy, it sure busts the bubble of the liberal idea of what Jesus is. Just love everybody, whoever they are, whatever they are, it doesn't matter. It mattered Jesus. You say, well, why was he being so mean? He wasn't being mean. But there's only one way that this woman could overcome and get what she wanted from Jesus. She had to have the right type of faith, and she had the right type of faith. Jesus rewarded faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God rewards faith. You say, how can I be saved? You be saved by faith. You know what? You're rewarded when you believe in what God said. Now stay with me a minute and notice this. So here she was. So she had to overcome the fact of Jesus and what he did. Then she had to overcome the reality. The reality of the fact her daughter was possessed by a devil. She was from a cursed country. She wasn't a Jew. He wasn't her Messiah. And yet Jesus here had rejected her. And so all those things were things that she had overcome. Then you look and see what she did. She couldn't let pride got in all in her and been mad and went home and said, man, I can't believe that Jesus guy. He talked to me like a dog. Well, he called her a dog. And she could have done that, but she overcame those things. And you know what she did? Looking back in your Bible. Verse 24, and he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and what? Whoa. Worship him. Said, what? What'd she say? She said, I'm not coming to you as Messiah now. I'm coming to you because I recognize you're Lord. And Lord, I want to worship you. I'm going to worship you as a son of God. Notice what he did. The Bible says, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's meat, cast it dog. And she said, truth, Lord. She said, you're right, Lord. I'm not deserving of anything I'm asking for. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.
Amen.
She said, I'm not asking for the bread, but from you a crumb is all I need. Just give me a crumb. Look what the Bible says. And the Bible says in verse 38, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, what? He said, yeah, you got there. He said, you figured it out. And he said, you know what I'm going to do with your faith now? Notice what he says. Be it unto thee even as what? And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Do you understand? You know what gets God's attention? Our faith. Listen to me a minute. Sometimes God sends things in our life that we have to overcome to get to the place of humility where we call upon him in the right spirit and right attitude. He prepared this woman to be able to call upon him in the right faith. She didn't understand faith when she started with him. She finally came to realize how to call upon him. And when she did, the moment she did, he stopped and he said, woman, that great faith of yours, your daughter's healed. Just what you got wanted. She's healed. Go. And she was healed from that hour on. Listen to me. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you know what saves you? It's not your works. It's when you believe what Jesus says and your faith acts upon it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God is only pleased with faith. And sometimes he gets his place. And maybe you're here and you're saved, and maybe there is issues in your life that you need help. And you're having to overcome some things. God may put those things in your life to get you to humble yourself to a place where you cry to Him with the right amount of faith. And you come. Jesus rewards that type of faith. And maybe you need to come this morning. However God may deal with your heart, would you come? But you know, only by faith can we overcome the things of this old world. Amen. Let's stand.